listeners, friends, and, well, maybe even some family, who knows? And welcome to the Voices of Legacy, where we're honored to have and welcome Miss Lashana Alfred. Hopefully I'm pronouncing the name correctly.
Yes.
Yes, good, good, good. A distinguished licensed independent social worker, a trauma therapist, and certified EMDR consultant. We're going to explain exactly what that is. With a mission to empower individuals to overcome limiting beliefs and unlock their full potential. Amen, Sister Lashana. I was expecting amen from that. With five books, five-time author, and counting, I'm expecting, an adjunct professor, empowering coach. She specializes in relational trauma, emotional resilience, and confidence building. I might need some of your services. Offering transformative programs and workshops that blend personal experience with professional expertise. Her passion for helping others, and I feel you right there. We could stop right there. Her passion for helping others heal and grow is evident in her dedication and her calling to foster lasting change in those that she interacts with. Good day, good morning, good afternoon, Miss Alfred. How are you?
Hello, I am doing great. Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Oh, thank you for being here. I'm excited to hear your interesting story. Now, is there a movie forthcoming?
No, not a movie in the making, but I definitely believe it should be a movie.
I would agree, and we're going to explain why that is. Can you tell us something about yourself?
I am a resilient individual. Mm-hmm. Who has a heart for people. Hmm. Yeah, has a heart for people. And it didn't come easy, right? So I had to go through some things to get to this point or where I am in my life now. Yeah. So
it wasn't always that way?
Wasn't always that way.
Oh, wow. That's an admission and a half. So how did you come to this point?
Yeah, so I am born and raised in Toledo, Ohio.
Oh, okay.
And my mom and dad both was murdered when I was younger.
Oh, my goodness.
And so that impacted me in ways that I didn't realize until I became an adult. Mm-hmm. And so I literally lived my life as if it was me against the world. Wow. And so I did what I wanted to do. I was raised by my grandmother and my uncles. And so they were there with me throughout, you know, my life, teaching me life lessons that probably wasn't conducive to where I actually wanted to go in life. So where I was raised, it was drugs, violence, sex, and all of that. And ultimately, it landed me in prison in a different country.
Oh, wow. What country was that?
I was in Trinidad and Tobago.
Wow. Yeah. And not only were you in prison, but you had a little present in prison.
Yes. Yes, I was actually pregnant.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, I was actually pregnant and delivered my baby there. And that was an experience because they didn't care that I was delivering a baby. They still reminded me that I was still a prisoner, right?
Oh, wow.
So my hands was handcuffed to the bed.
Wow.
And the officer, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, while I was there. Delivering a baby.
Now, which book is this in?
This is in Behind Bars, A Chance to Change. And so I wrote that book because I realized once I was physically behind bars, I was mentally behind bars before I was ever physically. And so helping other individuals identify those mental bars that we find ourselves in that can keep us stuck in relationships, on jobs that, you know, we don't like. And so that's that first book, Behind Bars, A Chance to Change.
Wow. Wow. So this was the beginning of, I almost want to call it somewhat of a ministry of help for others, sharing your testimony.
Yes. Yes, definitely. So, 'cause I met God there. So definitely ministry, a transformative, you know, life for me and understanding that I didn't go through it just for me. And so that's why I own my voice and every opportunity that I have to encourage or empower someone else by sharing my story. And not just sharing my story, right, but literally getting out the wisdom that I've gleaned from what I've been through to help others.
So there's healing in that testimony, not only for them that you bless with sharing your story, but also for yourself, it sounds like.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Did you find freedom in sharing your story?
Yeah. Well, to be honest, I found freedom while I was still locked up.
Oh, wow.
Prior to being able to share my story, right? So the freedom came just with me being face to face with my reality. Mm-hmm. And so me sharing my story is kind of like, it's just a part of my life, but I was free before I got an opportunity.
That sounds like a Paul experience that you had. You were free incarcerated.
Oh yeah.
That's an awesome story. Explain to our listeners, what is EMDR?
So EMDR stands for eye movement, desensitization, and reprocessing. Uh-huh. And basically, it's a skill that we use to help the left and right brain work together. Mm-hmm. And so some people use their fingers and have you follow their fingers going left and right. And what people don't understand is that when we're walking, when we're doing that left and right movement, it's actually creating that bridge between our left and right brain. Mm-hmm. And so that's what EMDR is. It literally helps individuals who have trauma stored in a part of their brain get released into another part of the brain.
Full disclosure, I have to act like I don't know a lot of stuff that I do know so I can get you to talk about it. However, I actually experienced a traumatic brain injury myself.
Okay.
So I didn't have the EMDR deal, but when I was doing the research for our interview today, it reminded me of when one of my eyes were actually crossed. I was thrown from a patrol vehicle and got a subdermal hematoma and bled to the right and had paralysis to the right, and it crossed my eyes.
Yeah.
I had to do something similar to that. I had to focus, kind of like what you're talking about, on one side with that closed, and then focus on the other side. And after a while, if you practice it, you're straight.
Yes.
And hopefully in my cross-eyed. But so this is an effective way to help people deal with trauma.
Yes. 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 Okay. And so it also helps with traumatic brain injuries as well.
Yes.
Even the individual who founded it, she had experienced, got some traumatic medical news. Mm-hmm. And so she was walking and she noticed that she was going, taking her eyes left and right. Mm-hmm. And by the time she got to her destination, she noticed the charge that she was feeling related to this news was gone.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So with the EMDR, you utilize this to help people deal with trauma now.
Yeah.
In conjunction with the story of your life, or how do you handle that?
Yeah,
how
so does it connect? So I'm a licensed independent social worker. So I have my own private practice. And so
you're paid for it?
Yes.
Awesome.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And so when I'm doing this particular therapy, it's them coming into my office. So this has nothing to do with LaShawna. Mm-hmm. One of the things about being an EMDR therapist is that we have to get out of the way, right?
Gotcha.
We learn to get out of the way. Mm-hmm. So it has absolutely nothing to do with me. Mm-hmm. And even I want the listeners to understand, when we're talking about trauma, we're not talking about like just the big T traumas. Mm-hmm. We're also talking about the small T traumas.
Yes.
So anything less than nurturing is traumatic.
Wow. I might have to get an appointment. So this has empowered you to be free to walk in your calling, to be a benefit to people past, as you said, more than just you.
Yes.
How has that benefited you in life as you see it?
Yeah. You know, when I began my change journey, right, I remember praying and saying to God, I didn't want my story to just be I was in prison, right? And I also wanted to impact more lives with my new life, right, in a positive way than I did when I didn't know any better.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's just so rewarding that I can actually be what I wish I had.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? I'm able to be that mentor, that positive figure to individuals when I didn't have it, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's the rewarding part for
me. Kind of like the know to do good but not do it.
Absolutely.
That's a sin.
Absolutely.
And it's a blessing, on the other hand, to do what you're doing is help people.
Yes.
And this gets me excited. Empowerment and personal growth. In your role as an empowerment coach, what are some of the common limiting benefits that you encounter, and how do you guide individuals in overcoming them?
Yeah. So some of the limiting beliefs that I encounter are things like, I'm not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't belong. I'm different.
Yes.
It's my fault. Right?
Yes.
And those things come from childhood experiences, and we start owning it. Mm. Well, it's my fault. And we make excuses for other people's behaviors because we're used to being blamed. So we begin to blame ourselves. And so that can be hard. That can be really challenging. Yeah.
What about when people actually are somewhat to blame. How do you balance that? Mm. It seems like it's a hard thing to balance.
Yeah. Well, see, it's when...
Sometimes you have some culpability in your own circumstance.
Absolutely. But then when so as a therapist, I trace it back to see, where did this come from? So a lot of times we think that's just in the past. Mm-hmm. But what I help people understand is how the past is showing up presently.
Yes.
Right? And so just say a child who was... received less nurturing, right? Mm-hmm. And so they don't quite know how to manage their emotions.
Yeah.
And so they become angry. Mm-hmm. So now as an adult, we see this 20, 30, 40-year-old who's being more physically violent, mm-hmm. and we can look at that like they should know better.
Yeah.
But when we're talking about the brain and how the brain processes information, mm-hmm. if that's how I know how to survive, that's mm-hmm. how I know how to survive, whether I'm 30, 40, 50. And mm-hmm. so me being able to help them go back and trace it mm-hmm. and see how what they've been through in the past is showing up presently, that's how we bridge that
kind
gap.
Kind of deprogramming, reprogramming.
Yes.
If that
absolutely.
Makes sense.
Yes.
That sounds
yes.
about right. Wow. I almost feel like I'm going to have to pay you when we're done with this. Community engagement. You've been involved in, a lot of initiatives. Fashion shows mm-hmm. aimed at the mental wellness. Could you tell us more about the events and their significance
yes,
to what it is that you do?
Absolutely. So I do a yearly event entitled The Unveiling. So The Unveiling is Lashana taking counseling to the stage.
Ah.
So I know a lot of people is not going to come into a counselor's office, right?
That's
so
true.
This is my way of creating a platform where individuals feel like they're having fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't feel isolated,
yes.
you know, singled out. And yeah. so this
Under
year.
Under the spotlight.
Right, yeah. So in 2024, we actually had a men's panel. So men talking about the impact mental health has had on them.
Mm.
I had other therapists, male therapists, who came and shared their story. And so every year, it's about creating a space for people to feel free with being their authentic self.
Mm.
Yes.
Man, that sounds awesome. That sounds awesome. The educational contributions that you've made have been considerable as an adjunct professor. How do you integrate your professional experience into your teaching? And what do you hope your students take away from your courses and even your experience?
Yeah. And so I graduated mm-hmm. with my master's at the University of Toledo.
Yeah.
And here's an interesting story. My parole officer told me I would be a good social worker.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody in my family went to college, none of that. And then even as
wow.
my parole officer was introducing me to that, I'm thinking I probably needed a social worker when I was younger, right? And so that's how I actually got into getting my own degree.
Mm-hmm.
And so after that, I began to teach as an adjunct professor at the University of Toledo in 2011 and have been, you know, teaching since. And so one of the takeaways because I teach social workers,
uh-huh.
and many social workers go into that field because they've experienced some things.
Mm-hmm.
And so really helping them embrace their authentic self
mm-hmm.
as they're going into the field. And so in blending that, mm-hmm. what I've been through,
mm-hmm.
so they understand, like, it doesn't matter where you come from, right?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter how you start. It really matters how you end,
finish.
Right?
Yeah. So you enjoy teaching?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm in my zone. Yeah, when I'm teaching, I'm able to be, you know, I'm able to be me, able to be free, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is, wherever I go, I be me.
I would probably expect that to be true. Which do you like better, the counseling, the teaching, or the writing?
Oh, I like teaching better.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you why. Because I have an opportunity to go in mm-hmm. and teach, and it's up to them. Right, to grab the information and utilize it.
I can relate to
in
that.
In counseling, yeah. I have to walk alongside of them,
mm-hmm.
right? So in teaching, when I'm doing my speaking engagements, I'm able to literally plant the seed and trust that somebody else going to come and water it.
So I'm assuming you travel and speak.
Yes. So I've been to Atlanta, Baltimore, mm-hmm. Washington. So definitely travel.
You could go to Cambridge. To a symposium. And it's really useful information, and I think it touches everybody exactly where they are. I think it's important for everybody to really realize who they really are, their genuine self, their pain and their suffering, and how that benefits you
yes.
moving forward. I think we focus too much on how how bad it hurts.
Right.
And the hurt is something that you can either maintain or let go.
Yes.
And that's what I'm hearing in what you're saying today and even in what I read from your books. Tell us about those five books of yours.
Yeah.
And is there another one?
Yes. Okay. So the first one, Behind Bars, mm-hmm. A Chance to Change. So, of course, I wrote that book because I was thinking, okay, I'm coming home with a felony and I'm not going to allow the system to stop me, right, mm-hmm. and cause me to go back into a lifestyle that can take me away from my children. So that was that first book. That's when I started You Change. And then the second book is Ladies Take Your Man Back. Now, the man stands for mature, assertive nature. I wrote that book because mm-hmm. I was in a relationship mm-hmm. and a young lady had just got out of the relationship with the person I was in a relationship with. Uh-huh. And so she was feeling devastated, right? Mm-hmm. And so I remember getting off the phone with her and I prayed for her and I was led.
She called you?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You know how guys are.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I do.
But yeah, she called
Remember,
me.
I'm a pastor and I right. get to talk to people a lot. So yes, ma'am.
Yeah, so she called me wondering how this person she had been with for 10 years all of a sudden wanted to marry me, right? And so I was like, okay, this is bigger than him, bigger than mm-hmm. me, bigger than you. Maybe God is saying something to you. But mm-hmm. anyway, after I got off that phone, I began to write. And I literally wrote the first three chapters just from that, you know, phone call. So ladies, take your man back, mature, mm-hmm. assertive nature, really understanding who we are prior to any trauma or nasty breakup or divorce.
Talk about taking a negative into a positive.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. So that's Ladies wow. Take Your Man Back. Then The Power of Perception, mm-hmm. Healing from the Inside Out. Mm-hmm. As a therapist, I realized that individuals was looking for their healing outside of them.
Yes.
And so that book helps them really identify the internal things that needs to change in order for them to receive their healing. Mm. Okay. And then the fourth book is Justice Wears a Dress, The Power of a Woman's Voice. Mm. And so that was inspired through Trayvon Martin's mom. Mm-hmm. And so when we looked at all the unarmed black men who was being murdered, mm-hmm. I was not focused so much on that as much as I was focused on the women mm-hmm. who was crying out, you know, for change. Yeah. And so that one, Justice Wears a Dress, mm-hmm. The Power of a Woman's Voice, and helping women own their voice, right, and not be silent when it's concerning things about us, right? Yeah. Our bodies, whatever. Just to open your, you know, open your mouth and own your voice.
Don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
Yeah.
And the last one, the fifth one is The Freedom Formula. It's proven strategies to help you break free from the beliefs that keep you stuck. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really, really excited about that book that's going into audio as well.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, just being free. And we don't realize that the thing that's keeping us from being free is that limiting belief mm-hmm. that we have.
It's you.
Yeah.
It's always you.
Mm-hmm.
And harken back to Paul and Silas. I mean, to be in prison, to be able to be in a place of euphoria, but yet you're physically incarcerated, is the condition of a lot of people that experience trauma.
Yes.
It's in your mind.
Absolutely.
You went through it. Don't discount that. We don't erase that.
Right.
However,
yes,
you can choose
yes.
what you do with what you've been through.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's where we
get. Yeah, I read some of it.
Yeah, that's where we get the pain and its purpose in the pain,
yes.
right?
Yes, yeah. yes, yes, yes. Of those five books, I'm going to ask you, hopefully not too hard of a question. What's your favorite so far?
So far, it's The Freedom Formula. I love the freedom because I learn more, you know, mm-hmm. with this fifth book than I did with the first four, right? Mm-hmm. Even when we're talking about the title, we're talking about the chapters, you can literally open a book and see like full word picture. Mm-hmm. So I have one of the chapters is goal setting.
Is that the one that has the interaction where you can write in it?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That one is The Power of Perception.
Okay.
You can write in those. I think the other four you can really write in.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But this one here, I mean, you can go to it and see it has mindfulness mm-hmm. techniques and different things. It tells stories of individuals who have actually experienced mm-hmm. Feeling trapped, feeling stuck, and how they got the courage to move forward mm-hmm. and do something different. Yeah.
So it's other stories of other people
yes.
and how they. Awesome. Yes. Awesome. Yes. Awesome. What are some of the most rewarding moments you've experienced in your career, and how have you navigated the challenges inherent in your field and in these wonderful experiences?
Mm-hmm. I was picked to be to receive an award mm-hmm. at the University of Toledo, the social work program, mm-hmm. for 2018 and I believe 2019 as award for alumni. Mm-hmm. And so that was really rewarding to say, basically saying the work that I've been doing mm-hmm. after graduation, right, yeah. outside of the university, that is very rewarding. One of the challenges is, it's really challenging for me to sit back and watch individuals or agencies create programs that may not really help people, but that can really hinder them.
Yeah.
You know, and in my experience, I've had to, you know, really like leave positions because it no longer aligned with my core values. Because mm-hmm. I believe that people can change.
Yes.
And although I'm not against like medication assistance, mm-hmm. I believe that it's there to assist, not to be like the cure, because it's not, right? Like people, when we're dealing with mental health, individuals have to be able to feel. Mm-hmm. And we don't want medications that's going to hinder us from feeling, right?
Yes.
So they need to be able to feel it and then be able to shift a mindset, you know, a belief around it, so they can begin to, you know, take control of their lives. So that's been a challenge as well.
Mm-hmm. So here's a question for you. Hopefully you can answer it. I think you can. I'm trying to think of how to form this, but the change in mental health, and we're right down the street from one of the mental hospitals here, from the sanitariums. Toledo had a beautiful, as much as it can be, but physically beautiful sanitarium. It's gone now. It's been gone for many, many years. In most areas, especially urban communities, there's very limited mental help. How does that affect what you do?
Yeah.
And it sounds like you're thinking along the same lines. It seems as though there's a thought to maintain the status quo.
Yeah.
But what about the cure?
Right. It's really unfortunate, right? Because, again, there's a lot of programs popping up, right?
Yeah.
But there is minimum access to what individuals actually need, right? And so, and it's a lot of bureaucratic things that's in place that can block people from getting the help as well. And so if I have a mom calling in about their older, like, adult child, it's really little I can do because the adult child has to be willing to receive the help, even if they're mentally incapable, you know, of really asking for it. You know, outside of, you know, pink slipping and that type of thing, we have individuals who's able to come to our office and pretend like, oh, no, everything is okay. But their mom is like, no, I'm seeing what's going on at home.
Yeah.
But we have to go off of what the actual individual is saying. And so it's a lot of blockage there as well.
And it's so hard to get someone actually committed to some type of mental health help. It's very hard.
And
I can relate to that. Looking forward, looking ahead, what projects and initiatives are you most excited about? I heard about the book that's soon to come, or is it already out? The fifth one. The fifth one, I think you said.
The fifth one is out.
But you're getting ready to do the audio.
Yes.
Okay. Or at least release it.
Yes.
How do you envision some of the initiatives and projects that you have, the impact in the community, and what do we have to look forward to?
Yeah, so April 4th or 5th, we're having a gala. It's a mental health gala, and it's minority women-led agencies, behavioral health agencies in the city of Toledo. And I'm really excited about that. And it's really, really highlighting the actual individuals who are actually providing help, you know. So that's what this gala is for, designed to target individuals who are actually in the mental health field, providing help and really honoring them, supporting them, letting them know that the work that they do is important. And so, and then in May, I'll be doing the unveiling. And so that is for the community, individuals who know that they have a hard time, you know, being their authentic self and coming out and just being able to hear and see an empowerment, you know, event.
That sounds exciting. Looking forward to that. For those listening who may be struggling with trauma and seeking personal growth, what advice would you offer a person that's in the middle of potentially a crisis or not dealing with some past trauma that's affecting their life now?
Yeah, the advice I would offer them now is to seek professional help. And I don't just say that because I'm a therapist, right? I say that because so often we suffer in silence, you know,
internalize
things. And then we're looking for the people around us to help us who's not even equipped to help us, right? Like our spouses, our family members, you know, parents, they may not even be equipped to help us. So I would say to a listener, you know, that may be struggling and really trying to move forward to seek help. And then if they don't want to, they're not quite ready to go into someone's office, get a book, right? Get a book and journal. Start writing down. Do some mindfulness meditation. Really allowing yourself to get real with what's actually happened, you know, what has actually happened in your life, and stop, you know, masking it. If it hurt, it hurt. It's okay, right?
Don't put a Band-Aid over a bullet hole.
Yeah, and don't pretend. If it don't feel good, say that.
Last question of the day. What do you think Miss Alfred's legacy is, and what would you like for it to be?
That's a nice question. I like that. Let's see. What do I think it is now? I believe.
As you're thinking, I'll say, I really enjoyed it. I just summarized, skimmed over your stuff. I'm like, I got to read these books and give them to somebody. They're really good.
Thank you.
And that's an awesome legacy, but go ahead.
Yeah. I believe it's one of, you know, resilience, triumph, you know, freedom.
Wow.
Right? And empowerment. But the core of it is God. Right? Like, I really would not be who I am outside of who I am in Christ.
Amen.
That's it. Right? Awesome. And I believe that's what it is now. And I don't know if I would want it to change too much. Right?
So if you had to do it over again.
Oh, my goodness. I would. I don't think it. When I look back, right? I'm talking about even my prison experience. Like, I needed that because if outside of that, I would still be stuck. I would still be thinking it was my family who was keeping me out of trouble, right? I was still, but I was in a place where my family tried to reach me and they couldn't. And God, I mean, when I say tried to reach me, they came, paid for somebody to try to get me out. While I'm in court, they're telling me, you getting out. And in my spirit, God said, you're not going nowhere. Because I got you. This was an assignment. And even when it was time for me, I didn't even know when I was going to be released. But I kept reading where the scripture says that my time was in God's hands. And so I trusted that. And I remember God saying to me, I'm not trying to change your situation. I'm trying to change you. And so when I say the legacy, I wouldn't change it. Every single thing that I've been through has been orchestrated to create the woman I am today. I'm good with that.
That is amazing. It's beautiful. And I'm so thankful that you chose to come sit with us for just a little bit here at WGTE Public Media. Thank you again for coming.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Voices of Legacy. This is your friend, Pastor Carl Mitchell III, your host of this program. We want you to go to wgte.org/legacy to like, share, subscribe, and hear all of our past podcasts and our future podcasts. Be a friend and join with us in the Voices of Legacy, where you're writing your own legacy every day that you live. Have a blessed day.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.